This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas has the fifth highest teen pregnancy birth rate in the country and ranks first for repeat teen pregnancies. The teen birth rate in Bexar County for ages 15 to 19 was 49% higher than the national rate in 2013. The Trump administration recently announced a $200 million cut to funding for teen pregnancy prevention initiatives across the country, including two in San Antonio, saying there is little evidence that these programs have had a positive impact. The teen pregnancy issue is related to complex socioeconomic factors like access to health care and the cycle of poverty. What's being done to curb high and repeat teen birth rates in Bexar County? What resources are available to young mothers here? How will these federal funding cuts affect work of San Antonio organizations committed to this issue? We invite you into our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. 8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this afternoon by Colleen Bridger, the director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Also, Dr. Jan Rialini. She is the associate vice president and founder of Healthy Futures of Texas. Angela Montez is with us. She's the program supervisor for the Children's Shelter Nurse Family Partnership. And Caitlin Shepherd, she's a 15-year-old San Antonio mother. And again, you're welcome into the conversation, 210-614-8980. So Colleen Bridger, the head of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, talk about San Antonio's situation with teen pregnancies.
Well, as you mentioned at the beginning, the state of Texas has one of the highest teen birth rates in the nation. And Bexar County and San Antonio are experiencing those challenges as well. But we've been doing a lot of really great work for the last 5-6 years to bring down the teen pregnancy rate, and I'm super excited to be able to talk about that.
Yeah, so what's being done to do that? How what's working?
So, and that is interesting because you mentioned that one of the reasons that the funding was cut was because there was no evidence that the programs were working, according to the current White House. And what we've seen is a 38% decrease in the teen birth rate since 2010. So over 5 years, we were able to decrease the teen birth rate by 38%. It's rare in public health to have an intervention show that strong of an impact in that short amount of time. So I would push back against that that statement and say, yes, it is working. When you use evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs, there is a very strong cause and effect, and you see the teen pregnancy rate go down.
I've heard two arguments coming from the administration defending the cuts. One of them is there's no evidence that this is working, and the other one is this is going so well, we don't need these programs anymore. So have you heard that? You know, I mean, that's out there. So let me turn to Dr. Jan. And so you're the founder of Healthy Futures of Texas. Mm-hmm. How did you find out that your funding was going to be cut?
Well, it was a shock. We had no warning and no discussion that anything out of the ordinary was happening. This is a 5-year grant, and we had just been approved for our third year. So we're just finishing our second year and starting our third year. And the notice of award came via an email, and that is an official federal document. And it had a change on it from before, so that our project period, instead of being all the way to June of 2020, was now June of 2018. So it cut 2 years off and said close the program down this year. That was a huge shock, no warning. The project that we're working on is studying a curriculum that hasn't been evaluated completely yet. It's called Big Decisions, and we're working in three rural border areas in Del Rio, Eagle Pass, and Carrizo Springs. And those school districts are really excited about being part of the project and hadn't really had anything like a program for students and parents like Big Decisions has. So this is a rigorous, randomized, controlled study, so that going the 3 years and then not being able to do the last 2 years means that those 3 years will not give us the answer. We won't have the data that we need.
Right, so you are collecting data, and you're looking at, you're doing a study, and so you've got control groups, and you've got groups that you're dealing with your, that you're working with, and you're trying to come up with what is the magic formula to try to help kids make these decisions about their lives. And so without the full 5 years of data collection, you know, you have to wonder how successful, you question the results of the actual study. Is that it?
Right. We won't have an answer. And that seems like the 3 years of effort, as wonderful as they've been, will have been money that the government spent not getting what it was hoping for, a new program that could serve particularly conservative communities who want to give young people the knowledge and skills that their parents want them to have in a way that's comfortable for conservative communities.
So what were you doing in those communities? What message were you delivering? How were you working with young girls?
Well, we work with young girls and guys and their parents. This is a program that is in ninth grade in school, and Big Decisions has 10 sessions, 10 lessons that the health teachers or English teachers or biology teachers, depends on the district, would be facilitating. It's not just about abstinence and a little bit about birth control. It's also about goals and dreams and healthy relationships and how to get where you're going, how to set your boundaries and defend your boundaries and respect other people's boundaries, and how to really anticipate those challenges that you might have so you can get where you want to go be healthy and stay on track. And we also want to point out that we honor teen parents because that's a really tough job. And we know that some people become pregnant and have children early on. It's not the end of the world, but we want all teens to know how they can plan and decide for themselves and be in control of when they have children.
Did you have any preliminary results? Anything you could actually look at and say, this is encouraging?
Well, our preliminary results show that the study is on track, that the two groups are comparable, that we're going to compare, and that the youth really enjoy the program, that they're, and the parents as well. The parent component is really enjoyable for the parents who are coming, and they're very grateful for having had access to it.
But in telling people, you have decisions. This is power that is in your hands. And empowering boys and girls,
yes,
about their sexuality and letting them know that there are lifelong consequences for decisions that are made today. Mm-hmm. Did anyone ever tell them that before?
Well, I think it's something that's really hard to talk about for parents and young people. It's hard for young people to talk to their parents, and it's hard for parents to talk to their kids. So helping that process and helping get the basics of information and skills to the kids who really are hungry for it, to the schools that are hungry for it, to the parents that are hungry for it is what we're about. The most controversial thing really has been the control group. Why can't all the kids have it? And the answer is because we were funded to test this popular program and make sure that we're on track with it.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. We're talking about trying to curb teen birth rates here in Bexar County and also down on the border as well in South Texas. What's happening with these cuts from the Trump administration? We'll see what's the future of Big Decisions now that those cuts have come. And we'll also talk to a local teen mom and talk about her experiences. Phone lines, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this quick break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about teen births in San Antonio. San Antonio, Bexar County, we have a high teen birth rate, but there is some action out there to try to educate our young community about what happens when they engage in unsafe sex practices, and sometimes you get pregnant, and we try to educate people about these consequences. But, you know, abstinence tends to be the way that the state of Texas has been going about that. So let me ask you, Colleen Bridger, director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, what do we know about abstinence-only education?
We know that the vast majority of abstinence-only education programs are not effective. What is effective is when you use comprehensive sex education, and there's been decades of research that have backed that up.
Now, regardless of all the efforts to try to help young people make good decisions, there are, you know, young people, teens who get pregnant, and there is a follow-up program to try to make sure that they are getting good health care in that process. And that is, there is the Nurse Family Partnership Program at the Children's Shelter in San Antonio. And Angela Montez, I know that you're a nurse there. Talk about that program.
Nurse Family Partnership is a high-tiered evidence-based program that supplies a first-time mom with a free bachelor-prepared registered nurse to come visit through her pregnancy and until the baby turns two. It's completely free and voluntary. And the nurses will go to the home or wherever the client wants to meet. We've gone to the schools, Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, wherever the client's comfortable. And we talk about their pregnancy, how to take care of themselves, what's coming up in labor and delivery, how to breastfeed their baby, how to take care of their baby, positive discipline. And we also work with them on, what's your life goal? Okay, you're here now, so where do you want to be? And how can we help you get there? So we help them remove those barriers in their life so that they can have those goals set and be able to meet them.
It's you know, one thing to have one child when you're a teen, but when you have two, you end up getting pregnant again. That seems to be exponentially more difficult as a young mom. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And that's one of our outcomes, is preventing subsequent pregnancies, or what we call birth spacing, giving at least 2 years in between the births of the babies. So we work with them on what's their plan, you know, once they deliver, for contraceptives, how to prevent the pregnancy, what is it that they want to do with themselves. And we have 93% of our clients wait to have a second baby till after the baby turns two.
So, Angela, what kind of state are many of your clients in? Do they feel comfortable with their current situation? Are they excited? What's happening?
Well, I think that for most women, when they first get pregnant, it's exciting, but then you're also scared, because this is going to change your life. And how am I going to deal with this?
Doesn't matter what age you are, what circumstances.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Even though you may be excited initially, you go, oh my gosh, what did I do? But in that instance, we show them that it's possible. Where people look at the impossible, you look at the possible. And we'll get into Caitlin's story, but walking into her home for the first time, because I was her nurse for quite some time, I looked at Caitlin and thought, what great potential she had. Not like, oh my gosh, you were 14 and pregnant, but oh my gosh, you have great potential. You are smart. You've got this going on. You've got great family support. There are all these things that are going for you. How can I help you get to where you want to be now?
So let's talk to Caitlin. Caitlin Shepherd is here, 15-year-old San Antonio mom. Welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
When did you find out that you were going to be a mom?
I had just turned 14, so it was probably a week after my birthday in 2015. My mom kind of found out because I was acting sick, and she just, you know, kind of figured it out for herself.
Did she knew before you knew? You didn't? Did you know you were pregnant at that time?
I didn't. It was kind of like her assumption.
So she got you a pregnancy test?
Yes.
From the store and said, take a look at this?
Yeah.
And what happened? What was your reaction?
There was a lot of disappointment and, you know, crying, of course, and like, I don't know how to really explain those times, but, you know, you go through a period of time where your family's disappointed, but it eventually turns into, you know, a happy thing.
So what about the guy? Where's he at?
Her dad is still with us. He's my boyfriend. We've been dating for 2.5 years now. He's a really good dad. She loves her dad. I don't know what she'd do without him.
And I guess you had to decide, you know, whether or not to keep the pregnancy going or not.
It never crossed my mind. I never really thought about it. I just thought, you know, this is my life now, and I'm going to have to deal with it, whichever way.
And so you were in school, I guess.
Yes.
What? So you were?
I was in the eighth grade.
Eighth grade. And how did that go down in school?
Well, I gained a lot of friends when I became pregnant. I kind of became like, you know, the school's attention, really. So everybody like hugged me and like rubbed my belly and like wished luck for me. And it was really a supportive school for me. The counselors were very supportive. They got a teacher for me to help me through my pregnancy. And then they actually offered this program to me, which my school set up for me. So my school was very supportive of me.
Did you ever think that you would be in that situation?
No, I didn't. It was very shocking, really.
So even though you didn't anticipate that you would become a teen mom, you'd be pregnant so young in life, I guess there were plenty of surprises along the way.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot.
Like which?
Well, my pregnancy went really well, but my birth, I had an emergency C-section, so I kind of was hoping for a natural birth. I had an epidural and everything, but I had a C-section with no spinal, so it was kind of traumatic. They told me that she was going to pass away if we didn't do an emergency C-section. The cord was wrapped around her neck, and her heart rate was very low.
Mm-hmm. And the name of your daughter?
Her name's Aria.
How'd you come up with that name?
Well, actually, her name was Danielle for the first, 7 months of my pregnancy. So we called her Danielle forever, which is my middle name. And my boyfriend's name is Daniel, so we kind of, mixed it with Danielle. But then I was like, it's just not a Danielle. I just can't. So I watched Pretty Little Liars, which is a TV show. And I was like, I love the name Aria. That's what her name is.
And so with the program, with the Nurse Family Partnership Program, how helpful was that to you?
Well, it was really helpful for me because I had my baby during summer. So I didn't go to school, which for another 2 months because I was in summer. It was good to have that break from school and I kind of get to spend time with her. But it was really helpful for them to come over and help me with, breastfeeding. And she got sick at one point, and Angela was very helpful with helping to soothe her and teaching me how to soothe her and different positions and different things to do with her. And it was very helpful learning new things to help a sick baby, because if you're a first-time mom, you're like, what do I do? How much Tylenol do I give her? How much of this? How much of this? And it was a good experience to have them in my home.
And what kind of bond do you think that you have set up with Angela?
Well, I had a very strong bond with Angela, and then she got moved to a different position, and she, chose Shannon, which is my current nurse. And Shannon and Angela are very much alike, so it wasn't hard for me to, click a bond with her because they're very alike. And, I mean, I don't see how they're very different, so I have very good bonds with both of them.
Angela, talk about working with Caitlin. How is that? How is that? Is she? She's very confident. She seems to know what she wants here. Although she was kind of caught off guard with the pregnancy, is this a typical experience?
Yes, and for Caitlin, she is very mature for her age. So I was kind of shocked when I walked in and she was 14 and had this great conversation. But also, Daniel, her boyfriend, was there for almost every visit. Which is unusual. Sometimes the boyfriends don't show up or aren't as engaged as Daniel was. And Caitlin was like, okay, this is our baby. We're doing this together. And she made sure that he was there. So he learned the same thing as she was going along. And Caitlin, as you can tell, is well-spoken and has her head on straight. Caitlin, as soon as she was pregnant, was, okay, this is about the baby. This is about the baby. I'm not... going to be able to do some of the things I can't do anymore. I'm not going to be able to go out and hang out with friends all the time. So now I need to focus and concentrate on having Aria as my responsibility.
And Caitlin, for all of your confidence and maturity, you were engaged in unprotected sex, clearly. And did you know how much did you know about pregnancy prevention at that time?
Well, actually, the year before I got pregnant, I was in sex ed, and they teach you how to use condoms and stuff like that, but when you are kind of, in that situation, I didn't really think about it, You don't think that you're going to be that one girl that gets pregnant at 14, because there's not many people out there like that, so I guess it just kind of skipped my mind.
Sure, and that happens, to a lot of people. Doesn't matter what age you're at, mm-hmm. It's just a normal human condition. So you had some training in condom use, but condoms were not easily accessible. I guess you would have to go buy them. That's a different sort of experience for a lot of kids.
Yes,
they want to avoid that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And so are you on some sort of birth control now?
Yes, I'm on Nexplanon. It's the arm implant, but I don't do anything like that anymore. I'm actually abstinent. I was on Accutane, so I pledged to all that, and it's just, you know, I'm not taking that risk anymore.
All right, and so Angela, as a nurse working with the Nurse Family Partnership Program at the Children's Shelter, that is seems to be a typical measure to do to try to help young moms not get that second pregnancy. Is that it?
Correct, we do. And we usually recommend getting the long-term contraceptives for our teen moms to give that good birth spacing. And we've been fortunate because UT Teen Health, they had a grant. And a lot of that's going away as far as in providing teen moms with a free Implanon.
And so, Kaylin, what would you tell other girls your age? What should they be doing?
Well, when people talk about stuff like this, because I am in high school, you know, typical people talk about this kind of stuff and, you know, how they did it with somebody last night or something. And I'm like, well, you see my experience, like, you need to be careful. You don't want this, you know? I mean, I don't ever regret my situation, but I don't want anybody making the mistake that I did.
Not everyone has your family support.
Exactly. Like, people will judge. Even your family will judge you, you know? And not everybody has support like I do. And some people, you know, their parents may want them to get an abortion, and then they'll have to go through that, you know, depression and that stress. And I just tell them, you're a teenager, just wait. You have a long time to go. You're going to have to deal with daycare with your baby, and who's going to watch your baby while you go to school, or you're going to have to deal with dropping out and not getting a good degree and then not being to be able to provide for your child. I just give, you know, my friends advice and tell them to be safe.
So you want people to make informed decisions, and they could look at your life and not see you. I mean, you seem to be doing really well.
Yes.
But not everyone has all the support and in your circumstances, and so they may not be able to do as well as you.
Yes.
And even then, you are making sacrifices mm-hmm. to make sure that your child is going to have a healthy future.
Yes. I'm lucky enough that I don't make as many sacrifices because I have so much support. But if I didn't, I would be making a lot more.
It'd be tough.
Yeah.
Tougher than it is now.
Oh, yeah. My mom watched Aria for a good portion of her first year before she got daycare. So it was really good that she had somebody that was close to me to watch her while I went to school.
And Dr. Jan, you know, a lot of kids who end up getting pregnant in school, they drop out.
Exactly. It's the number one reason that young women drop out of school. And it's an issue not only in high school, but also in college and community college and four-year colleges as well. And it also affects the dads in terms of their anticipated education and their anticipated ability to earn money in the future and have the kind of career they want. So it doesn't mean that you can't do those things. It just means that the pathway is steeper. And that's what we want to help young people not only understand, but have the skills and the preparation to be able to think ahead and make the decisions they want to in those moments.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation, get to some of our callers. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, talking about what's being done to curb teen birth rates in Bexar County. The source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Numbers tell us that teenage birth rate in the U.S. has dropped to historic lows. However, that's not the case in Bexar County. There are numbers here are decreasing, but still they're more double the national average. Battling teen pregnancy is important. Many studies show that teen moms are more likely to live in poverty and less likely to graduate from high school. And recently, the Trump administration announced cutting funds to evidence-based programs working to prevent teen pregnancy. And these are programs that are based in science. We're talking about that this afternoon. We welcome your phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980. And let's get Matthew in on the conversation. He's been on hold for a long time. Hey, Matthew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
All right, go ahead.
So I recently graduated with a master's in health administration, and one of the things that we were taught in my graduate program was how to analyze the downstream impacts of our policy decisions. So my question is, that it seems pretty clear that reducing teen pregnancy is not a priority for the Trump administration. How can we as a San Antonio community pick up the slack? How can we mitigate the impact of this reduced support that we're seeing from the Trump administration?
All right, Matthew, thank you for that call. So Colleen Bridger, director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, how can San Antonio step up?
Well, it sounds like you were going through a wonderful program, and I really, those words are music to my ears. And I think that we do have a teen pregnancy prevention collaborative in San Antonio and Bexar County, and I think that we're going to need to rely more heavily on that group of people who represent a wide variety of service agencies, city, county, hospital folks, and we're all going to have to, you know, put our heads together and figure out how we can continue this progress with less federal funding. The good news is we have really great results from the Obama era funding that we were able to get. So it's not like we're pitching a good idea. We're pitching something that we know works and that we can show has economic impacts, as you mentioned, kind of downstream.
Dr. Jan Rialini, is the vice president and founder of the Healthy Futures of Texas. How does this funding cut, are you going to be able to make up the loss? You know, what does this mean for you? Does this spell doom for your program?
Well, for our nonprofit organization, it's really a severe cut. We do not have a way of continuing this this program, this study, to finish it out and find the answers about big decisions without finding additional funding. We are applying to several foundations, and I just had a suggestion of starting a GoFundMe page, so maybe that will work.
How much are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for, the cut is about $1.7 million, so we're looking for about $1 million to be able to really finish the study and over 2 years in these three districts.
I've seen them make that kind of money on those things before.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion. I think the...
But you're out there. You're looking.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's get another caller in on this. This is Daniel. Hey, Daniel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My statement or question is around, the glorification of the media around being pregnant. I know there's been shows. I know MTV had 16 and pregnant. There's countless talk shows during the day around a teen pregnant and who the father is. And there seems to be almost a glorification of being the victim. And how much of that is attracting this sort of 15 minutes of fame? Is that a real thing to combat within being pregnant, the pregnancy prevention for Bexar County?
Okay, Daniel, thank you for the call. I appreciate your point of view there. So are we glorifying, being a teen mom? So Caitlin, do you feel like you're a victim at all?
I do not feel like I'm a victim. I think a victim would be being forced to do something against your will. But I do not think I'm a victim. Other people may think they are a victim of this, but some people, I don't really know how to explain it, honestly.
I think we're trying to walk a fine line here. Okay, we don't want to shame anybody for being a teen mom. Got to be very clear on that. You know, these things happen, and we have to deal with these things with our head held high and accept the realities of it. I mean, is that right, Colleen Bridger?
It is. And, I've been working in teen pregnancy prevention for about 20 years. And about 20 years ago, I had somebody say to me, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world for a 14-year-old to get pregnant. And my response was, no, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I'd like for our 14-year-olds to have higher aspirations than pregnancy. And we need to give them the tools where they're making informed decisions and are saying, right now is not when I want to do this. And that's what's been lacking in all of this education, is having this conversation with our kids about, here are all your options. What are you reaching for? What are you striving for? And how are you going to get there? And teen pregnancy is just a part of the many obstacles that jump up in front of our teenagers.
Angela Montez, a program supervisor for the Children's Shelter Nurse Family Partnership. Do you have anything to add on to this?
I do. I agree with that piece of it. We spend a lot of time telling them what not to do. We don't tell them or empower them how to do it. And a lot of our teenagers, and even with women in general, it's about the relationships. And if they don't know what a healthy relationship looks like, or no one's really talked to them about it, or they don't understand what their goals are or how to navigate through life, they make some poor decisions sometimes. A lot of us probably had sex when we were teenagers. And for most of us, we were very fortunate that it didn't happen. But for some, they did. They got pregnant, they had a baby. And what do you do with that now? So I think, you know, tapping into that, she's very right. We need to be able to empower them, give them enough information so that they can make their own decisions, because they're going to be adults soon. And they need to be able to do that, develop those critical thinking skills to make those decisions. What is it that I really want? Do I want to have sex? Do I want, because the consequence of that is having a baby, or do I want to wait on that a piece and maybe go to college or do something else first?
But we do know that teen pregnancy is related to a lot of negative statistics, high dropout rates, continuation of the multi-generational cycle of poverty. Frequently, there's not a lot of good, healthy outcomes for the mom and for the child in these areas. And so, without proper support, we do end up with these negatives. But we also got to be real about, you know, what we can do to try to give teens the opportunity to make these choices. Is that right, Colleen?
That's exactly right.
Okay, another caller. This is Alex. Hey, Alex, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
I just wanted to weigh in on how Dr. Bridger mentioned the science aspect of this whole debate. It's definitely an undisputed fact that evidence-based teen prevention programs are successful, at least to some degree. And it's also clear that teen pregnancy prevention is still an issue in San Antonio. So I feel like it is very alarming to me as a scientist to see that the Trump administration would be cutting funds to these kinds of programs. And for researchers to have to look to crowdsourcing to fund their research is just really tragic. And so my question is, you know, how will these sort of long impact decisions about, you know, budgeting and not having that pregnancy prevention, how will that affect San Antonio in the long run?
All right. Thank you for that call, Alex. And any response? You know, go ahead, Dr. Jen.
Well, I just want to thank Alex for her call and say that I agree totally that if we look at what the evidence shows us, that's our best way to know how to help young people be successful. And the rigorous evidence that these programs that have been cut represent means that we're getting off that track. We've made a lot of progress and we're getting off that track. I wanted to mention a very important program here in San Antonio, and that's UT Teen Health, which has even a bigger grant than we have, and they've been cut the last, it's a teen pregnancy prevention program that their last 2 years have been cut. And they're seeing, with all the partners, we're one of the partners, and there's lots of different partners around San Antonio and Bexar County. They see over and offer evidence-based programs to over 17,000 young people and parents a year. And sustainability, how can we keep that going after the grant is done? That's going to be a big issue. If people want to know what they can do, they can call their senators, Senator Cornyn, Senator Cruz, and they can call their congressperson to talk about this, because it's highly unusual to cut a program before the budget has even been delineated. And if we can save these programs, I think it'll make a big difference for San Antonio. We're on the right track, and it's a shame to lose these programs.
But these are cuts are nationwide, affecting more than 80 institutions. I mean, it's hitting hard here in San Antonio, but it's all over the country.
Yes.
So, Dr. Jan, what are you hearing from your colleagues?
Well, around the country, programs are shocked and dismayed. Many are looking for continued funding, or their communities are trying to figure out how to keep up the work that helps counter the glorification of sex in the media, not just teen pregnancy, but sex in general.
Sure,
and
all the porn that's out there.
All the healthy messages that parents want their kids to get, that's what these programs are about. What really helps young people make the healthy decisions so that they can be successful and have children when they want to, not as a surprise.
So, but it was going to be like all these different programs were doing different types of research. They were all trying to come at this from different directions. Is that the idea?
Most of the there's 81 projects, 17 of which are research projects, but the others are generally service projects and replication projects. There's some projects that are supporting all the other projects.
And the idea at the end of 5 years, we'll take a look at all of them and see who has really come up with the secret sauce. All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. We've got a lot of callers here. We're going to talk some more about the impact of these cuts, and the number to call in is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about funding cuts to anti-teen pregnancy programs that were happening across the country, and it hit hard here in San Antonio. And so I want to ask you, Dr. Jan Riolini, she's the Vice President, Founder of Healthy Futures of Texas. There was an article written recently in The Federalist, which was defending the Trump cuts, saying that these were wildly ineffective teen pregnancy programs, that they were sold as evidence-based, but they actually, and you look at the evidence that they are not reducing teen pregnancy, actually just the opposite, encouraging teen pregnancy and increasing the likelihood of becoming pregnant. That's according to this article written by Molly Hemingway. Is that how you see it?
Not at all. What I see is that this is a model program looking at a rigorous scientific evaluation of programs and funding the programs that have been shown to help young people make better decisions, avoid pregnancy and STDs, and also to fund research into new and innovative programs, like the Big Decision Study that we're talking about. So unlike the DARE program, for example, that historically has not been effective in helping kids avoid drugs, this program is funded specifically looking at that those programs and evaluating them as they go. So it's not a free ride for any program. All the programs are being evaluated as they're being implemented to make sure that indeed we're using good programs.
So in this article by Molly Hemingway from The Federalist that came out in July 24th, it says that there was a University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio program called Need to Know that was funded at $851,000. Youth had similar rates of initiation of sex and engagement in risky sexual behavior compared to youth offered the standard health curriculum. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, and that's one of the studies, one of the programs that was a study, an evaluation that was done, and that's good that we know that that great idea didn't work out to
basically it shows
change
that the standard
behavior.
Health curriculum is not effective.
That particular curriculum was being studied and it was found to not be effective. And that's important. We have to learn which ones aren't effective too. Some of the ones that are effective are abstinence only, and most of them are comprehensive. Okay. But those are the ones that we need to study and be open to having your program studied and evaluated. That's
but
important.
It's really important to clarify here that the majority of the funding that went to these teen pregnancy prevention programs were replicating those things we already knew worked. There was a portion of it that went to determining do these new emerging curricula work, and that's one of the ones that was found not to work. But when you look at the vast majority of the funding, it went to things we already knew were effective and replicating them across a greater scale for larger numbers of kids.
Okay, another caller. This is Kelly. And Kelly, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to just actually call in and share just briefly that I really hope that the parents of teenage parents realize how important that they can be in helping their children to still be successful educationally and just in life. And in doing so, their grandchildren as well. I was 16 when I had twins. And because of the support that I had from my parents, both financially by being able to continue to live with them, and emotionally by, you know, helping me with, you know, learning all of this, I was able to graduate from college and law school. And now my own children are going to be sophomores in college this fall. So I just really encourage the parents of teenage parents to stay still involved and to continue to offer support to them as well.
Great, Kelly, and congratulations on your teens, your twins going into college. It's fantastic. Thank you so much. Let's talk about parents. I mean, you got to talk about the parents of the young parents here. And so Angela Montez at the Children's Shelters Nurse Family Partnership, how do you bring parents along on this?
We do. Caitlin's very fortunate in having a very supportive family and have a very supportive mom who helped walk her through her pregnancy and continues to support her. That is not the case in a lot of our clients. You have parents who have to work two jobs. You may have a single mom who's having to work a job or two. You may have parents who aren't as involved with their kids. And where are those children supposed to get the information? They usually get it from those pregnancy prevention programs that we put into the schools. And if you take those away, where are they supposed to get their source? You're going to see an increase in pregnancy rates for our teenagers. But we do. I mean, if the parent is available and is involved, then we try to encourage them also into the visits. Caitlin's mom participated in the visits with us and learned right along with her.
What about the parents' involvement long before a child even becomes sexually active? You know, having the conversation like just saying, if, you know, I love you, you're my daughter. If you ever find yourself in a situation, I'm here for you. You don't need to fear coming to talk to me.
You have some of those. You do have a few of those. But the majority of parents tend to, if you get pregnant, I'm going to kick you out. And we have a huge problem in San Antonio with 16 and 17 year olds being kicked out of their homes for being pregnant and they're couch surfing and there's no place for them to go. So a lot of them fear. And those are the ones that we see that have late prenatal care access. The ones who have really great parents that, you know, hey, I'm here for you. Those are the ones we see earlier in a pregnancy, such as Caitlin.
Caitlin, do you get to talk to other girls who've gone through situations like you?
Yeah, I actually have a friend. She's 16. She had a baby recently. We didn't get along before she got pregnant, but after she got pregnant, I just wanted to make sure she had support and that she was okay, and she's doing really well. Her family, she's very lucky to have a really supportive family, actually.
And so, do you know any girls who don't have that support?
I do know many girls that have been pregnant in my school and have gotten abortions because their parents threatened to kick them out or do other type of things.
Let's get another caller. And this is Christina. Christina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was explaining to the operator when I made the call. It's very interesting to find out that there's all this help, and I've already knew that. I live in Cibolo, and I work in the San Antonio area. My husband and I are educated. We have good insurance. And we had that talk with our daughter. So we made the decision to go for birth control pills. But I was explaining that it was very difficult for me to find a doctor with our private insurance to have a consultation, and they wouldn't take her till she was 16. So I'm listening to all this, and it just makes me think that there's a lot of information for low-income people. There's a lot of free, you know, guidance and all this. And it just kind of upsets me that when I was trying to find this out for my daughter, and I'm paying, and we're trying to do the right thing, it was very difficult for me to find an OBGYN, and I had to come all the way to downtown San Antonio.
All right, Christina, thank you for the call. Angela Montez at the Children's Shelter Nurse Family Partnership.
So we are very fortunate here in Bexar County in the fact that we now have a teen clinic. It specifically serves only teens from the age of 10 to 24. And it is downtown because we run into those spots where they don't want to be served or they have difficulty fitting the teens in. But we do have some Title V clinics, the University Health Clinics, Central Med, Communicare. There are a couple of OB-GYNs on the northeast side of town that also like to specialize in teenagers. So we're lucky that this just new teen clinic opens, and they don't only do reproductive health, but they see the teenagers for if they're sick, if they need a physical.
Colleen Bridger?
I think that's a legitimate concern. And what I think we're seeing trending nationwide is this movement towards teen health clinics. And they're not poor teen health clinics. They're teen health clinics that serve the unique needs that teenagers have, because they don't fit in the pediatrician's offices and they don't fit in the OBGYN's offices. And so we're finding that just like we transition to a geriatric care model on the other end of the spectrum, we're finding the need to have physicians who understand the unique medical needs of teens. One of those is birth control, substance use, mental health issues. All of those are unique to teenagers. So anybody else who's listening who's having those similar struggles, I would encourage you to seek out a teen health clinic because that's really the best fit for our teenagers.
Well, as Caitlin explained, there are teens who will decide to terminate a pregnancy. And the question of now insurance on here becomes complicated because the state legislature just passed a bill that would require separate insurance to pay for an abortion. And so, Colleen Bridger, do you see that as another way to make it more complicated for teens making these decisions?
I think it's a way to make it more complicated for all women to have access to reproductive health services. And I heard a lot of people make a lot of really good points against that.
It's being called rape insurance now.
And that's one of the, that's just scary to me. So we're all going to have to figure out how we can continue to provide access to all reproductive health services, because depending on where you are in your life, you need different portions of it.
So how should people feel about where we are now with trying to deal with teen birth rates in Bexar County? Is it positive or is this going to be a negative blow? Real quickly, Colleen Bridger.
So I think that we've got a really great team of people who are working with some really great momentum right now, and we're going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that we can capitalize on that momentum, and we're going to get creative, and we're going to set up GoFundMe pages, and we're going to continue to succeed in spite of what the current White House administration is saying.
All right, Colleen Bridger, Director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, Dr. Jan Rialini, she is the founder of Healthy Futures of Texas, Angela Montez, the program supervisor of the Nurse Family Partnership Program at Children's Shelter San Antonio, also with us, Caitlin Shepherd, a 15-year-old San Antonio mother, and I think she's got a future in broadcasting. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.